Tonight on Coast to Coast, we are going to be talking with an individual who has been watching your back. Chemtrails, the Bilderbergs, and so many other issues. In a moment, Shepard Embellus joins me on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. If you've ever been to the IntelliHub.com website, it's one of the most read websites out there, so much so that our buddy Matt Drudge has got it featured on his website as well as a link. Shepard Embellus developed it. He's an activist, journalist, filmmaker, film producer, radio talk show host as well, and then founder of IntelliHub.com and also UnboundRadio.com, which is an internet-based radio program. And as I mentioned, Matt Drudge has picked him up as well. He, a couple of years ago, did just a marvelous job with his team covering the Bilderberg Group, which at that time was held in Virginia. They're all over the world, as you know. Every year they have this so-called hidden place that the media is starting to pick up on. And Shepard is back with us on Coast to Coast. Shepard, the world needs us. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good, George. As good as I can be, I guess, in today's
Gosh. Absolutely. Now, we got a little clip of your Shade movie, the motion picture, up on our website, the trailer. And I noticed that a lot of our dear friends and colleagues are on it. Jordan Maxwell, Alex Jones, Clyde Lewis. They all contributed to this. How did that concept come?
Well, you know, George, it really all started with the downturn of the economy back in 2006, 2007, 2008 era. You know, I'm sure everyone remembers this, the mortgage crisis, the housing crisis in America, where these bankers went around and essentially issued all these loans out of thin air. I remember talking to pretty much just everyone and their brother, and they're telling me, well, I just got a house, and, you know, they just approved me. Yeah, I just told them what I wanted, signed my name, and I just instantly got a house. And I was sitting there at the time. I personally wasn't into buying a house because I really didn't know where I was going to live, but I'm like, wow, they're just kind of giving these things out like hotcakes. What's going on here? And I remember kind of questioning this. And at the time, I was an electrical contractor in the Phoenix area. I owned an electric company there. Yeah. And, you know, just before that, things were booming in the construction market. We had all sorts of projects going on, residential, commercial, you know, new construction, remodel. It was just going crazy. And, you know, I would drive to work in the morning. Part of this gets into another story that's pretty interesting, but, you know, I'd drive to work in the morning, and I would also notice not only was the economy taking a downturn, and people that I knew, you know, respected businessmen and all this, were starting to kind of eventually talk about, well, I'm getting ready to lose my business. I'm losing everything here. You know, I can't afford my house anymore. Gas prices are going through the roof. All this stuff was fluctuating. Everything just seemed real volatile. And, you know, I would drive to work, and one day I kind of glanced over, and I noticed that there was this rather odd construction project going on at this military cemetery. And I started checking into it every day as I drove by and kind of wondering what's going on more and more. So one early morning, I grabbed one of my coworkers and we grabbed some cameras and went over there and actually started filming what was going on. And this project would typically take place under the cover of darkness. It was rather odd. And it was at a veteran cemetery in the Phoenix area. And what we found out they were doing was they had this lot next door to the cemetery, which had all of these concrete boxes, these massive vaults. I would say they were probably like 8 feet in height, you know, and 10 feet in length, and, you know, rather wide as well. Mm-hmm. And they were stacked there by the tens of thousands. And we're like, well, what's going on, and why is this next to the cemetery? Well, when we showed up at the cemetery that morning to start filming, we realized it was just a massive excavation project, but we had also seen what they were doing because they had covered up some of their work. So what they were doing is they would go in, and they would take heavy equipment and they would carve into the landscape around the cemetery where there wasn't graves yet, just acres and acres and acres of land, and they'd carve in about 10 feet deep, and they would lay a rock down in the bottom. It's basically called ABC rock, and they put that in there, and they make a nice bed, and they compact it, and then they were throwing these concrete vaults in, just lining them up side by side, one after another, very strategically. It looked like it was being laid out to a mapped plan and put into a T. And then is what they would do is they would come in and cover these things up with concrete tops and then backfill over it with earth, and you would never know that anything was there. What we discovered is they were massive burial vaults that were being installed, essentially mass graves. Each one of these burial vaults, the official story on them when I started digging into them, you know, they could supposedly hold up to four caskets, and they were definitely that big. But by my estimates, you know, if you were just going to throw bodies in these things, you would throw 40, 50 bodies in each one. And I mean, they were there by the hundreds of thousands. So it was what happened was I ended up going on the Alex Jones show and talking about this, and then the local media came out. They kind of tried to cover this story up.
Did they believe you at all, Shepard? Did the media believe you, or did they try to put it down?
They actually admitted they were burial vaults, but they admitted it was typical business. Oh, this is just typical business for military cemeteries, and what we do is we go in and we just put in, you know, hundreds of thousands of these graves ahead of time and spend millions of dollars doing it. I mean, they touted it as the largest construction project in Phoenix at the time, and actually kind of tried to hide it in plain sight initially, basically just putting it right out there, but telling you, you know, hey, it's just how the veteran cemetery does business. And so what happened was I started digging into this a lot more. You know, about the time I went on the Alex Jones show, I was really getting into these pandemic and mass fatality response plans. These are like World Health Organization in conjunction with FEMA and the DHS and all of these organizations. From what I could see, they were starting to come together and everything was starting to make sense. And I was like, wondering, you know, what's the purpose of these things? I mean, are they going to have a mass extermination in the future? Like, what's going on? Do they expect a meteor to hit? I mean, why would they put these things in? Because
exactly.
What we found out is they were actually putting these things in all over. They were surveying. They were even surveying private cemeteries. So these things have been installed throughout the country and all over. And getting back to these pandemic and mass fatality response plans, this is all part of what our former president, George W. Bush, see, all these presidents come in and they lay groundwork for the next president. And then, you know, that groundwork gets laid for the next president. And eventually we're going to be left with something that's not good. You know, I don't know exactly what, but they keep encroaching on our freedoms, on our rights. And as you can see with like Obama, they keep us signing executive orders.
Sure.
Essentially just doing whatever they want. Well,
do you think when they come into office, Shepard, they're even aware of what's going on?
You know what? I do. I believe that most presidents are part of the CIA. They've had neuro-linguistic programming training for years in advance. Essentially, if you remember back, Ronald Reagan was an actor. And I think they, you know, all of these people, I think as innocent as someone like Ronald Reagan may seem, and people might not think of him as part of a big conspiracy or anything, I think he still was even guided and part of these groups. And so, you know, essentially it's almost like they train these presidents from a young age and they groom them. They teach them how to move their hands, how they're going to speak in front of an audience, what their job's going to be. And if you remember, you know, George Bush and the Bushes are instrumental in the CIA Clinton has CIA ties.
Sure.
Certain members of the media have CIA ties. And they essentially train him just to be like the perfect president. So instead of using actors like Ronald Reagan, they started kind of going behind the scenes, training him in covert rooms, putting him through all these stress tests and stuff, so that one day when they're talking in front of the American people, they just seem like the perfect instrument, and everyone's into him, and they're all believing. But all along, really, they're pushing in an agenda essentially for what people call the New World Order, which, you know, it's going to keep encroaching on us. It's there. It's a burden. It's going to just keep hammering us until there's nothing left. And, you know, I mean, we'll probably get, like, the next president we get, it'd be the same story, and they'll keep signing executive yeah. order after executive order. And, you know, this would just go on. But
Well, I was talking with Alex a few weeks ago, Shepard, and he and I are convinced that they know that we're onto them and yeah. that they're trying to push the agenda even faster. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, like, even programs like yours are instrumental in this. I mean, you know, you guys are getting so much information out, so many facts and so much truth that, you know, and sites like Drudge and, you know, InfoWars and all this stuff, everyone's just, you know, in this alternative media movement, I guess, and activists, and everyone's kind of doing their part, and it really is forcing them to accelerate their issues. They're doing things that they thought they may never have to do. And they're getting a little wild with it. They're thinking outside of the box, and ultimately we're just going to end up in essentially a total tyranny, I would assume, that, you know, if we don't really exercise our rights and figure out how to almost dethrone mm-hmm. these people, you know. So George Bush, essentially at one point, he came in and he instilled this novel flu concept, and then we saw the swine flu come out, and they beta test some of the stuff, and now it's the Ebola hype, and you just never know what they're going to use these mass graves for or anything. So that part of my awakening was seeing something like these mass graves on my way to work. But I'll tell you what else I noticed on my way to work, and it's amazing because you will see these chemtrails, these trails in the sky, these persistent contrails. And what's funny about this is, well, there's really nothing funny about it, but what's funny about it is I would notice that the whole sky would just be socked in. They would come in and they would just literally spray a grid in on certain days. And, you know, certain areas of the United States, they have different methods of deploying this stuff. It's different in Hawaii than it is in the mainland and stuff.
Right.
But ultimately, they're spraying all these chemicals into the atmosphere, barium, aluminum, small particulates, and it's all under the guise of testing. And they're essentially allowed to conduct these tests under law that they've instituted, and basically, you know, we're the test subjects, and they can kind of legally conduct these things, supposedly, you know, even though it's absolutely sinister. But what I would notice is you would see all these vapor trails in the sky, and fog would come in. I mean, it would almost seem like you're in a gas chamber, and no one else is looking at this. You know, I'd be driving to work, and I'd be looking over at the next guy on the freeway traffic, and, you know, they just kind of didn't really notice they're even getting sprayed. And it was something that kind of I kept studying and studying. I would see these flight paths of the commercial airliners, and they would come in on a very specific course into the city every day from certain angles. The same lines they would come in to set up for their takeoffs and their approach landings and all this. And then certain days you would literally just see wild trails everywhere and planes flying every which way, literally just spraying in grids. And these were like more like unmarked aircraft. And if you really observe this stuff, you know, people will start to see, if they haven't already, I'm sure they have, how it works. And this started to kind of boggle my mind. I would check into this a little more. And as things started, you know, kind of crumbling around me, economically speaking, the markets became very unstable. I started realizing some of these scams they were pulling with the construction market, which I'll get into. But essentially, what they would do is they'll issue loans out of thin air almost. So if you were going to get a construction loan, for instance, say for like $200,000 to build a house from scratch, what happens is you go into the bank and you get the loan, and they give you a checkbook, and it gives you checks that you can write up to like $200,000 to the contractors that are building the project or whatever. And basically, you get this project built. All of these contractors come out to the site, and they put in the foundation, they put in the framing, the roofing, and you're paying on this construction loan the whole time during that process.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, and essentially what happens when you get the house built and you're still paying on this loan, and, you know, you're living in the house and everything's good. But when the economy starts fluctuating, gas prices start fluctuating, and they have overcharged you for the interest and your monthly payments for this construction loan, and you're just kind of riding that line, and something happens with the economy, and you can't pay this loan, they're going to come repossess this house. So is what they've done, George, by doing this is they've got this house built out of thin air, because they never lent you that money in the first place. They just kind of technically credited some money into an account, and then they got this tangible asset built. So when things fluctuate and they repo it back, now they've repoed back a tangible asset that they've never spent a dollar on to get built in the first place. Now they possess physical property. And so if they repeated that process over and over and over, eventually they've got everyone's physical property now that they've basically got built out of thin air that they never lent in the first place. So this is like a great scam of these bankers, and it kept compounding. And essentially they, you know, repoed a lot of people's stuff, and the banks became even more powerful. And that's the kind of stuff that I was noticing. You know, first off, I mean, I kind of always had a feeling something was going on, but this made me want to get into it more. And then as I started losing my business and everything I had because of the downturn of the economy, eventually what happened was, George, I had to basically sell the last of everything I had. And
just
I went up to Oregon,
to keep going.
And I literally had to move in with my parents. And, you know, at the time, I guess I was like 26, 27, something like
that.
Well,
you know, they say, Shepard, that's the age that when kids have to move back, it's right around then, you know, and the parents are told, get ready, yeah. They're coming back.
Yeah, I mean, it was really like that. And what that did, though, for me is, you know, I ended up moving to Oregon, to a small town, which is very beautiful up there in Oregon, but there's just no work up there. So I basically just said, well, what can I do? And I started researching literally like 16, 18 hours a day, every single day.
Hold on for a second, Shep. We're going to come right back and talk about how you got into this incredible work with IntelliHub and everything else. And then what do they want to do? What are they doing with these chemtrails? And what's the plan? We'll be back. Well, the clock is ticking. January 1st will be the last day available for the Holiday Magic Co-Style CD, benefiting veterans charities, where so many of us donated our time and our voices and our energies to get the CD done. If you go to our website, coasttocoastam.com, click the picture of the CD under the highlights. It's right there in the middle of the homepage. It'll take you to Amazon.com, and you can order it and get it sent to you quickly before Christmas and get going. It's just a final burst. It will not be available after January 1st, so take advantage of it. The Holiday Magic Coast-Style CD only at coasttocoastam.com. Welcome back. Shepherd is with us, of course, Shepherd Embellis. Shepherd, what do you think is happening with this chemtrail situation?
Well, it's really multifaceted, and it really gets pretty deep. Anything from weather modification, you know, global geoengineering, terraforming applications, to more militarized applications, which people like I've talked to, like people like whistleblowers out of the NSA, like A.C. Griffiths, who's not with us anymore, said is what they do is there's these particulates that come down, and there's barium, aluminum, strontium in it. Now they're actually having fibers come out of the sky, which we just discovered and analyzed over at IntelliHub.com. But another application that A.C. Griffiths talked about was This barium, it's the same product that doctors can put in your blood, and then they can scan you, and they can kind of see all the veins in your body and stuff. Well, this stuff kind of covers everything. And what he was saying, too, is essentially the military uses it to map what they call the 3D battlefield, and the battlefield is essentially the world or the United States now. And this dust settles all over everything, and they can see everything in full-blown 3D. He went as far as to say is like your auric field has certain frequencies and stuff, so basically they could almost track certain individuals independently with this stuff that's almost like a smart dust. But more often than not, it's used for weather experimentation, weather manipulation, weather modification, cloud seeding projects. So they're actually manipulating the weather with it. Yearly geoengineering budgets go into the billions. There's the supplemental presidential chemtrail budget. It's just the budget that the Obama administration just never wanted anyone to know about. You know, there's so many agencies involved in this. There's like 13 member agencies that
wow, that's a lot.
You know, it's like NOAA and all these different agencies. There's 13 of them, and they're all kind of working in conjunction with like the UN and bodies like this that are essentially globalist bodies. They're almost like a union-like format. So these people at the top of the pyramid, they come in and they form bodies like the World Health Organization and the UN. And what that essentially does is they kind of force little countries to become part of this, different states and stuff. And then you have to follow their protocol, their pandemic preparedness plans, their geoengineering weather modification plans. There's the International Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC. They have reports that date back to 1999. And according to Rosalind Peterson of the Agricultural Defense Coalition.org, she talked about this in the movie Shade, the motion picture. And there's essentially a clique of these geoengineers. And one of the things they've done is they've went up early on and they started geoengineering up in the Arctic. And they were conducting these experiments up there. And the reason they were doing this is because people could, quote, kind of live within these experiments. So what that would mean is if anyone was harmed or there was any side effects or byproducts of these experiments, it would be totally acceptable. And this is all under public law.
Collateral damage that they didn't care about, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, these terraforming projects that you see in this chemtrail operations, essentially, a lot of people weren't talking about this early on, but essentially is what it is there, it, depopulation is a side effect. It's a byproduct of this. There's traces of aluminum, barium, strontium, all of this stuff now found in our environment. It's now found in our soils, and it's now found in our blood streams, our blood systems. And we see this with the Mojave County residents, Aldi Chico and Lucasana, which are featured in Shade. And they actually went and had blood tests done. And Aldi Chico, he was having respiratory irritation, near respiratory failure, sinus problems. And him and some other people decided to take action. Actually, they pulled about 20 people together, and they all went and got blood tests. And what they found was in their blood were ultra-high levels of these, you know, barium, aluminum. Jeez. And in some cases, you know, 800% above the standard in their bloodstreams. And as they started presenting this to the Board of Health in Mojave County and all this, these shills would come out and they would say, well, you know, this barium, it just comes from Brazil nuts in Brazil, and you guys are eating this stuff, and, you know, it's coming from your water supply and all this stuff. But they had their water independently tested and everything, and they knew that they were getting sprayed because they were watching this stuff daily, and they knew they were breathing this stuff in. And it really led to their research of what's going on. And then you talk to people like Michael Murphy, who I'm friends with, the maker of What in the World and Why in the World Are They Spraying.
Right. He did a great job on that, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we were driving around in Hawaii, and he was just pointing out, like, tree after tree. I mean, stuff that I wasn't even noticing, but now it's really prevalent to me. It stands out. Tree after tree in Hawaii is just dying, and all these things are dying from the inside out. We went up to Mendocino County, California, and we met with Rosalind Peterson, Jason Burmis, and I. Jason, the InfoWarrior Burmis, he co-produced Shade. He's also the maker of Loose Change and Fabled Enemies, some great documentary films. We traveled up to Mendocino County in California. We met up with Rosalind Peterson, and she was able to take us around and show us all these trees that are dying from the inside out. What happens is, from what I understand, the aluminum gets into the soil, and then these trees uptake this aluminum into their root system, and that gunks up their roots, and they just can't take in water like they're supposed to, and they just start dying from the inside out. The trees are just falling over. They're degrading everywhere. And in certain regions of the U.S., this is more prevalent because they geoengineer a lot more in certain regions for some reason, maybe whether it be their budgets or whether it be kind of like a testing ground that's kind of approved primarily more for testing. I don't know. Technically, anyone's allowed to conduct geoengineering experiments under law, whether it be in the air, the ocean. So you got like private companies doing weather modification now. And so all these trees are dying. And like Rosalind said, these trees are assets of the world. She talks about this in Shade. And I mean, trees are there. They provide oxygen for us to breathe. They filter out pollutants. You know, they're just really essential in the process for life on Earth. And, you know, a lot of these trees are dying now. And so at one point, NASA came out and they've declared that chemtrails are a hoax. So you've got all these agencies that are actually involved in this stuff, but then they're saying it's not going on. But yet, if you just look around, you can see it. And then there's these people that say, Well, it's just a certain type of jet engine, and it creates this vapor trail. And, you know, we've all seen contrails and stuff, and they dissipate. And I guess certain weather conditions can kind of cause something like that. But essentially, these contrails dissipate. But as what me and Jason Burmes found as we were traveling through California and all this, we went on this website. I think it's called planefinder.com. And we would see all these commercial air flights, and they would all be listed on the application. You can view it right on your smartphone. And as planes fly right over you, it literally tells their tail section number, you know, and how they're registered or whatever. And you can see this in real time, and you can see a plane fly over, and, oh, that's a United Airlines plane. That's a TWA. But what we noticed is they were actually spraying as we were driving around California. So these planes that were spraying weren't listed on this plane finder application. So, you know, you can only assume they're militarized. You know, they come from some covert program.
Why can't we get pilots to say something here, Shepard?
You know, that's boggled me for years. Part of it is obviously they're under oath for the kind of work they do. I guess it would be like, you know, working for the Navy SEALs or something like that. You know, you just can't talk about your work. But there have, you know, I've interviewed a whistleblower that came forward that was involved in this. Another theory is that a lot of these aircraft are drone controlled, you know, something like of that nature, which we all know that they can fly, you know, commercial airlines. The pilots, they basically don't even touch the controls now. They're almost all automated. They have systems in them that can just, you know, they can even be flown remotely at this point. Whether they do that all the time is another story. And the whistleblower I interviewed said that when he was in these planes, well, he was actually retrofitting down at the Pinal County Airport for Evergreen Air. He worked there for a three-month span. And he goes by the name of Chris, and that's all he's known as. And for a three-month span, he was a contractor down there at Evergreen Air. And he retrofitted five of these 747C aircraft, which 747C is basically a cargo aircraft. It doesn't have seats in it or anything. So his job was to take these aircraft and actually install liquid storage tanks in these aircraft capable of discharge. So they would have all these storage tanks, and they'd be capable of discharging these chemtrails, this aluminum, barium, strontium, whatever they put in these tanks. And they had sprayer nozzles put onto the plane in certain locations, and the plane would be able to discharge. And he's been threatened since I did that interview, which we put in Shade, the motion picture. But I wanted to re-interview him for Shade, and he wouldn't do it because he was already intimidated by the powers that be. And so, you know, this is a real serious deal. And there was another whistleblower I mentioned earlier, A.C. Griffith, who, you know, was quite aged, and I'm sure he died a natural death. But
you never know.
Another one. Yeah, I mean, you never know. They got the heart attack gun now. I mean, you have to question it. But he was kind of coming out pretty hard and heavy when I first got into all this. And, you know, he was talking about more of the militarized applications and how chemtrails even play into things like HAARP and how they can energize these particles in the sky and do various experiments with them. You know, they can cause, like HAARP, they got patents for that thing that can cause nuclear-size explosions in the atmosphere without detonation of a bomb or anything. And I'm sure all this kind of plays into it and how they can charge these particles and whatnot. But these, you know, what chemtrails are doing is, I mean, they're causing this tree degradation all around the country, all around the world. These particulates are causing health problems. But, you know, they claim, if you read their documents, they say, oh, well, these chemtrails, this geoengineering, it's essentially going to stop global warming. This is why we need it, you know. But what these things do is they create a cover in our atmosphere, and essentially is what they end up doing is actually trapping heat in, which is it's melting the ice cap. You got the skies are now covered with these a lot of times, so you got this global dimming going on. So we're actually seeing a lack of sunlight, a lack of solar energy. Solar arrays aren't performing like they used to. You know, I even worked in the solar industry, and you know, they've noticed like some of their solar arrays, despite them cleaning the dust off of them and stuff like that, they're just not producing like they used to, and they're kind of scratching their head. You know, and the reason for that is because these chemtrails are blocking the sunlight. I mean, they're providing a lack of vitamin D for all plant and animal life. You know, the sun's just not reaching us like it used to, but yet the heat is being trapped within this layer, melting these ice caps. So the very thing they say they're protecting us from, they're kind of actually creating. And to top it off, all of this stuff is just shredding our ozone layer, which Michael Murphy says is our protective layer. And then it gets into like the sterilization of our soils. This stuff gets into all the soil. And then, you know, like I said, the trees can't take in water. But big companies like Monsanto come out with their genetically modified seeds that are actually aluminum resistant, because see, these companies are working in conjunction with some of these terraformers, with some of these geoengineers. They know what where things are headed. They know that nothing's going to be able to grow in the soil. Even Al DeChico in Mojave County, who we went up there and interviewed, and he had the aluminum and barium in his blood, he was talking about in the film how he used to grow watermelons, and they would just prolifically grow, no problem. They'd grow them. They grew them for a long time, and then about like 7 years ago, they just couldn't grow a watermelon for anything. I mean, these things just wouldn't grow. So Monsanto has patents now on these aluminum-resistant seeds, and Michael Murphy says it covers everything from apples to zucchini. I mean, they've pretty much engineered the whole nine yards, and then of course they have the Terminator seeds, and you know, then you got people like Bill Gates who are involved in this geoengineering stuff, and they've are even invested in like the Doomsday Seed Vault, which is in Norway, because they know that there's not going to be any real seeds left pretty soon. There's not going to be any. So one day, you know, he who holds the real seeds might control the world. I mean, this would be a smart plan if you were someone like Bill Gates. So they understand what's going on here. You know, the U.S. government at one point, and we talk about this in the film, Servando Gonzalez, the author, talks about this researcher, and, you know, talks about how Bill Gates, his company was almost forced to be, they were hammering him, the U.S. government. They wanted to split his company up, Microsoft, and they essentially kind of forced him to become part of this group. And, you know, now he has like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and they're involved with all these depopulation agendas, essentially, vaccines and whatnot. I mean, they're even...
Hold on, Shep. We're already at the top of the hour. We're going to come back, talk more, take calls next.